Good morning, church. Good morning. It's great to see you and welcome all of you who are here already. For those who are joining us, of course, online, big welcome to you as well. It's good to be in church, amen? Amen. Because God is on the throne. Let's stand and hope you're in fine voice this morning, ready to sing to the Lord. I raise a hallelujah. Come on, let's sing this together. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. And I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me. Come on, let's sing that again. I raise a hallelujah, oh yeah, in the presence of my enemies. And I raise a hallelujah, louder than the unbelief. Weapon is a melody, and I raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me. Come on, let's lift it up. I'll sing. I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. I hope will arise. And I raise a hallelujah with everything, inside of me. Oh, I raise a hallelujah, and I will watch the darkness flee. Oh, I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. Hallelujah. If fear has lost its hold on me, I'm gonna sing, and I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ash. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King. I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm, and louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder, yeah, sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies, sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, my weapon comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder, in the presence of my enemies, sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Come on.
And louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. up from the ashes, open her eyes. Death is defeated, the King. I'm gonna sing, oh Lord, I'm gonna sing. In the middle of this storm, and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. The King is alive. He is alive.
One more time.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar.
Up from the ashes. And hope is gonna rise. And death is King is alive. He is alive. He is alive. And for all you've done and yet to do, with every breath I'm praising you. Desire of nations and every heart, you alone are God, you alone are God,
you are,
and you are the Lord, the famous one, the famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. Oh, the heavens declare you are glorious, glorious. Oh, great is your name in all the earth.
And for all you've done.
And for all you've done and yet to do.
With every breath.
With every breath. And I'm praising you.
Yes, you.
Your desire of nations and every heart.
Come on, let's declare.
You alone are God. Yeah. You alone are God.
You are the Lord.
And you are the Lord. The famous one. Famous one. Is your name in all the earth? The heavens declare you are glorious, glorious. Great is your name in all the earth.
The morning star.
Yes, the morning star is shining through. And every eye is watching you. Revealed by nature and miracles, Lord, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all. The heavens declare you are glorious, glorious. Great is your name in all the earth.
And for all you've done, let's sing that one more time.
And for all you've done and yet to do.
Yeah.
With every breath, I'm praising you. Desire of nations and every heart, you alone are God. You alone are God.
Come on. let's sing. You are the Lord.
And you are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. Yes, the heavens declare you are glorious, glorious. Great is your name in all. Yeah, you are the Lord, and you are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare you are glorious, glorious. Great is your name.
One more time. You are the Lord, all together.
And you are the Lord, the famous one, the famous one. Great is your name in all the earth.
Yes.
The heavens declare you are glorious. Glorious, great is your name in all the earth.
Come on, let's sing that. One more time, one more time. You are the Lord.
Oh, and you are the Lord, the famous one, the famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare you are glorious, glorious. Great is your name in all the earth. Great is your name in all the earth. Great is your name in all the earth.
Amen. How great is it to be in the house of the Lord worshiping Him this morning? Great is His name. It's awesome to see you this morning. Why don't you turn and greet someone, welcome them to church, and then you may find your way to your seat. So just a few quick announcements this morning. The first one, Pastor Shannon sends along his regards. He is in Newfoundland this morning. He was invited. Yeah, some Newfies in the house. That's great. So he was invited to speak at his church's 70th anniversary, his home church where he grew up. So he was invited to speak there for their 70th anniversary of the church. So it's a very great opportunity for him. So we're praying that all goes well for him this morning. Just a few quick announcements. The first one I want to say is about the Youth Junior High Momentum fundraiser that's happening over the next week. So in the foyer on the information desk, we have a sign-up sheet available for you to purchase a lunch for you and for your family members. Plates cost $15 a person, and it includes a spaghetti dinner with garlic bread and salad. The funds go towards helping send our junior high grade 6 to grade 8 students to Momentum Junior High Convention. If you don't know what that is, it is a fantastic time. It's a Friday and Saturday experience of worship, word, and gathering together all a bunch of junior highs from all across the province. It's always an amazing time for us as a group to gather together spiritually and to grow relationally as well. And so your contribution greatly helps those who may not be able to go otherwise. So please consider signing up for this lunch. It's happening on October 29th. We will be serving you the lunch in take-home containers. It is take-home only. Just keep that in mind. And the sign-up is out there. You cannot sign up on the day of, just because we need to know how many meals we are preparing. And you can only pay up till next week. So next week is the last day to pay and to sign up. The week after that, we will be serving you your lunch to go. Other announcements for youth, junior high, and senior high, grade 6 to grade 12. We are meeting this Thursday night at 7 p.m. in the youth room. It's going to be an awesome time. We've been having great momentum the past few weeks, and we hope to keep that going. So if you are in grade 6 to grade 12, or if you know someone or have a friend that wants to come out, it's always a great time, and we love to have you there. And young adults, ages 18 to 32, we are actually meeting tonight as well for our monthly worship gathering service. It's going to be a fantastic time as well, so please be sure to keep that in mind. At this point in time, kids, we have a nursery available for all ages 0 to 4. Downstairs, just go down the stairs there, and right on the left, our nursery is available to you all throughout service. And then kids ages 4 to grade 5, you can meet your volunteers at the door now and go down for kids' church. And ushers, I'd like to invite you forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings as we turn it back to the worship team this morning. Thank you. God bless.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart can fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Come on, let's all stand.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Thank you, Lord.
Then came the morning.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe.
Here we go.
Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. You are my hope.
Then came the promise.
Then came the promise that sealed the promise.
Oh.
Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Let's sing that again. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Death has
lost its grip on me.
You have
broken every chain. There's salvation in your name.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, how God reigns. Hallelujah, how God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns forever all my days. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah. 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 Forever all my days, hallelujah. One more time, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Sing that again. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart, oh, over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction breaks, till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Cause your name is power, your name is free, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire.
Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and anxiety, and over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Let's sing that again. I just want to speak. I just want to speak the name of Jesus, oh, over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Oh, there's nothing like it, Lord. Broke through the strongholds. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Your name, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Oh. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, let's make this our intercession this morning. Sing it out. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, your name, for your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. I'm going to sing this bridge again. Jesus from the mountains. Let's be mindful of the world this morning. Let's be mindful of the cities, the streets, every nation. Let's declare this over the world today. Okay? Jesus from the mountain. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. And Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Come on. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. We declare, shout Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. One more time. And Jesus from, on Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, oh, Jesus in the darkness over every. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, Jesus. 'Cause your name is powerful, for your name is power. Your name is He. Your name
is love.
We speak this over the city. Speak it, oh. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Oh, we speak it over the nation, the nation. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your
name is love.
Hold on to your name. So break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Burn like a fire. Kindle a flame within us. Kindle a fire within us, Lord. Burn like a fire. Burn like a fire. Burn like a fire. The fire burn. The fire burn for the gospel. The fire burn for your word. Let the fire burn again. In every heart, in every heart, in every heart. Burn again, burn again. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more singing. And set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire in my soul that I can't
contain,
that I can't control. I want more
of you.
That's your heart today. Sing this out. Set a fire. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you. I want more of you. Set a fire in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more, one more time. Sing it out. Set a fire down
in my soul I can't contain, I can't control.
I want more
of you.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. All the saints and angels, and all the saints and angels, we bow. We bow before your. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, all the saints and angels, and all the saints and angels bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. King Jesus, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, into you are all things. You deserve the glory. Everything, Lord, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Oh, Lord. For from you are all things, into you are all things. You deserve the glory. Just that voice is lifted up. You are worthy of it all. Receive our worship, Lord. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Let's sing it. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, into you are all. For from you are all things, into you are all things. For from you are all things. Into you are all things. You deserve the glory.
So Jesus, we worship you this morning. God, with one voice, we declare you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you all are all things. And so God, you deserve the glory. We love you, Jesus. And God, as we prepare to move on with our service this morning, may you bless us. May you be with Esther Massey as she speaks to us about her ministry this morning. May you bless Pastor Shannon as he's speaking in Newfoundland this morning. May you be with each and every one of us in this place this morning. We trust in you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I am excited this morning to be able to introduce Esther Massey, who's coming to speak to us today about her mission, Open Hands Global. If you've never heard of Open Hands Global, I won't take too much, but I just want to introduce, this is an amazing, amazing ministry that works alongside the poorest and oppressed communities in Pakistan in order to help break the cycle, rather, of poverty and through education. And so at this time, I'd like to invite Esther, and would you join me in welcoming her this morning?
Get organized here. Thank you, Pastor Scott, Pastor Shannon, for giving me this opportunity to bring updates for Open Hands Global. Thank you, Evangel, because you are a big part of this mission. And without the financial support of people sitting in this hall and without the financial support of Evangel, there's so much we would not be able to do. And without the prayer support from all of you, there's very little we would be able to do. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. So we are Open Hands Global Relief and Health Programs. We are a registered charity in Canada. We began our work in 2016. We had a very humble beginning, just like you guys are sitting in church today. One morning while sitting in church, God tugged at my heart, and I just decided that I'm going to live my life intentionally. I will live my life for a purpose. And I praise God that He gave this opportunity that I could initiate this charity with a few like-minded believers. And it's all volunteer work from Canada. We do have an associate charity in the US as well. Also all volunteers. So please know that this organization runs completely on volunteers, and I can almost comfortably say that 100% of the donations to this charity go to our work in Pakistan. Okay. Okay, so I thought I'll give you a little bit of a context. I can't actually read it. but I wanted you to see where Pakistan was. We are in south of Asia. We're very interesting players around us, surrounded by Afghanistan, Iran, China. So a lot of activity happening in that part of the world right now. So I guess the important thing to know about Pakistan is that maybe the size of Texas has about 220 million people, very populated. Mostly the main religion of Pakistan is Islam, and Christians are a very small minority in Pakistan. Well, we're the largest minority, but still pretty small. We're 2 to 4%, but when you look at the population of 220 million people, well, we're still in the millions. So Christians have always been part of, okay, I might ask you to. So Christians have always been part of Pakistan. They came from India. India was initially part of Pakistan, or rather Pakistan was part of India. And when missionaries came, it was the Dalits or the lowest caste people who became Christians. And I know I've told you this before, that a lot of these Christians are still referred to as rice Christians, because they believe that because the missionaries gave them food to eat, that's why they became Christians. But let me assure you, even though it's the most impoverished, the most marginalized community in the world, but they have strong faiths. And they would die for their faith. But it's sometimes unfortunate that when you're uneducated and illiterate, you really sometimes don't know your Heavenly Father. And education, I think, becomes important when you want to teach them about who they are, who they belong to, that we are the sons and daughters of God. Like, even for them to understand these concepts, I think education becomes a very important thing. So we decided to, as our main focus for the charity, was that sometimes it's harder to change older people, and the prophetic word given to us was that if we work in Pakistan, within a generation, he's able to change the plight of these Christians. And I'm going to take a generation as biblical, where, you know, one generation grows up and has kids. So 30 years, I'm saying, thinking that in 30 years, God could change a nation. And that's what we are praying for. So we are actually in two marginalized communities in Pakistan. One is the slum community of sanitary workers, and another very marginalized, very impoverished community is the brick-in worker community, which is also referred to as bonded slavery. So, like I mentioned, Christians are 2% of the population of Pakistan, but 80% of the sanitation workers are actually Christians, or they identify themselves as Christians. And when I say sanitary workers, I don't want you to think of sanitary workers in Oakville. This is not the sanitary workers we are talking about. These are people who clean feces, they clean medical waste with going into open sewers, they unclog these pipes with their bare hands. There is no protection that they wear, and it's something that nobody wants to do. It's not something that one would choose to go into a job like that. So I want you to have this vision in your mind that when I say slum community, these are the people that I am talking about. The other community, and this is, it's not the actual slum community we're working in, but it's in the same area. It was just a smaller slum community, so I was able to take a picture from a bit further. But look at the shanty homes they live in. Like, these are workers who live in like two-room homes with 8 or 10 people in one home. And when the parents go to work, and usually both parents are working, the men are working in sanitation, and some of the women work in as maids in richer families. So while they're away, the kids are just roaming around in filth and have nobody taking care of them. So again, a very sort of a difficult environment to be in. And again, this is something I want you to remember and think that when we talk about children, the children are coming from this kind of background, this kind of community. And the second community, The second community we are working in is the brick-in worker community. Again, a very high percentage of Christians work in this community. A very difficult kind of work. People are bent over. They literally pull out the mud, and they're kneading that mud with their own hands. There's a lot of water till it turns to clay, and then with that clay, they put that clay into molds, and once the molds dry up, they put it into brick kilns, which are like really very, very hot, thousands of degrees of temperature. And the problem is that these children, they go and help their parents make the quota of bricks for every day. So 1,500 bricks, you have to make a certain number of bricks in order for you to get paid. And if you're not able to make that amount of bricks, yes, you get paid, but you get a very small percentage of what you are expected to be paid. So again, a lot of problems in this community because they inhale smoke all day, the musculoskeletal, a lot of musculoskeletal problems, respiratory problems. And if you actually see where they live, can we go to the next slide? So this is kind of generally what the communities look like. Not as shanty as the slum community. I mean, the homes, they live very close to these kins spewing out smoke all day. But these homes are not owned by them. These are homes owned by the brick kin owners. So basically, they give them these sort of semi-decent homes to live in, but they indebt them with that. Because the problem is, they are daily wage workers. So if The weather is good. They're making the bricks. They're getting paid. For the days it's going to be raining, they are not going to be paid. The days they get sick, nobody is going to be paid. So they kind of keep them in a debt for the rest of their lives, and they cannot move away. And we, when we actually looked at their debt, like I know I've shared this before, the debts are not huge. They could be like maybe $700, which, yeah, it would be quite easy for somebody from here to go in and pay off their debt, and you would think, oh, wonderful, like, you know, we saved a family. But that's not how, unfortunately, how it works. These people know nothing else what they could do, right? Once you, even if you pay off their debt, they will get into debt very quickly again. I mean, people have tried that. They've paid off their debts. They've tried to make a difference. But very quickly, they see that because they can't do anything else, there's no other skill, they go back into debt. And that pulls their whole family, their wife, their children, into the same business because they have to meet a certain quota for that debt. So these are the two communities where we have initiated our work. So let's go to the next slide. This shows 2017, when we first started the project. We started the project with 15 children. So we basically engaged a young pastor who wanted to work in the slum communities. And we asked people what kind of incomes they were making. So we did a lot of needs assessment. And then we realized that people were not making very much, so we put the criteria of $3 a day. If they made less than that, we would bring them into the program. So that's kind of the basis of how we selected our first kids. We also had to be sort of cruel in the sense that we just took one kid from each family. You want to impact as many families as you can. So we limited one child from each family. So that was where we started in 2017. So we prepped these kids. These kids were they were going to either some very poor government schools or they were like not in school at all. So the ages varied. So we prepped them, and we wanted to send them to English medium schools. And what I guess I didn't mention previously is that the language for Pakistan is Urdu. All government schools are in Urdu. All the professional education is in English. Only the rich go to private schools in English, and only rich become professionals in that country. The poor go to the government schools. They study in Urdu and usually fall off or leave school. Grade 4 is the average education, grade 4. And even to get to grade 10 is like very few kids. And even if they do grade 10 in Urdu, there is no scope of them getting into any sort of professional degree program. So that's kind of where, you know, why English education, why quality education? So this is our pastor that we engaged. He works as a program director in Pakistan. So we prepped the kids, and all of them got admission into a diocese English medium school. He's young there. 7 years later, he was single then. He's married, has two kids now. So it seems far back, but these are the 15 children that we started with going to English medium schools. Can we? Okay, so this is our Open Hands Global program in 2023. We have 240 children going to, in the program. We have, thank you. And it's very exciting. I mean, it's been every year we've increased 30 children. So right now we have 240 children in the program, 140 children at the slum community site, and 100 children at the Sheikhupura or at the Brickin Worker community. Can I have the next slide, please? So out of those 140 children at Chak Jalaluddin, which is our slum community, 60 children are going to school right now. And if you move on to the next slide, 60 children are going from the Brickin workers, so 120 children together are going to English medium schools. And the rest of the children, 80 children at Chak Jalaldin, which is a slum community, and 40 children at the Sheikhupura site are in preschool. So we are prepping them, so we kind of have teachers and we're prepping them to go into school and waiting for resources at the same time. So till we have the funds accumulated for these children, we make sure that we continue to educate them and they'll be ready to whichever grade, if it's nursery or prep or wherever we get to till we have enough funds to send them to school. So right now we have three vans that Open Hands Global runs in Pakistan. These three vans take the kids to and from school. We also hire some commercial vans in order for us to transport kids. So very early on, we had decided that we were not going to build a school in the slum community. And the reason was very deliberate. We didn't want the kids to never get out of the community. We wanted to take them outside, mix with their peers, be assimilated in the community. Because if you ever go to these communities, I don't know, I wish we could take some of you guys there, but it's not safe. So some of these children, they never used to respond to us. If we asked them a question, they were shy for sure, but they didn't have the confidence to respond because they just live in that community, and as soon as somebody from outside comes to the community, it becomes a hindrance to even get over that hindrance. It took a lot of effort from our teachers and our staff that they actually were able to assimilate in those schools. So I can very comfortably say that we have some kids who are actually position holders in those schools. So yes, everybody is not there, but you know, this favor, God's favor on these kids, they are kids who are assimilating extremely well. There are kids who are not doing so well, but you know, all of them continue to go to school, and I think we are making an impact in their lives. So I think our big success was when we actually purchased a piece of land in the slum community. We built a 4,500 square foot community center. As you saw, right, in that community, there's no space. We cannot run a program in two rooms. So there was no space. And we thought that the only way to have those kids be groomed while they go to school is to run an after-school program, and that was kind of why we initiated the building of a community center. So we have a community center in the slum community where we actually officially moved into it in 2021. So we have 140 kids, 60 kids who go to school. Their after-school program runs in this community center. So they come in and there's teachers who help them do their homework and there are teachers who support them. And then at the same time, for the kids that we are prepping for school, they come to these programs and they have activities, we provide food for them. And you know, there's a lot of extracurricular activities that we hold in the community center. So the whole idea is to make a holistic impact on these kids, and that's why this community center has become such a favorite spot for all these kids. They love to be there. There are times when there's no electricity in their own homes, and then they come to the community center, and there's electricity, there's food, there's teachers, there's other kids, and it's just a very happy, safe space for these children to gather and to be there. So, of course, a community center in the slum community, then the next step was a community center in the brick-in worker community. So we bought a piece of land in 2022, and if we go to the next slide, we have started building the community center in, this is our second community center going up for the brick-in worker community. And again, our hope is that we can move our program to this community center by the end of this year, if not early next year. And these are big projects. These are not small items. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea how much it has cost us. If we can have the next slide. This is our cost for the community center that we're building for the brick-in workers. So we bought the land at $61,000. We've already built the gray structure for $137,000. And now we're at the stage of finishing it. We're doing the electrical, the plumbing, and everything else that needs to finish that community center, and that's going to be another $100,000. So these are things we cannot afford it personally, but yet people have come together and they have contributed and they have, you know, seen the vision and are supporting this effort. And I cannot thank everybody enough for making this happen for these children. Just a little blurb, as our children are, especially our girls are growing up, because they come from school, they get really tired, and when they have to walk back for their after school program, there were some girls who were really literally sweating by the time they got to the after school program. So we decided, okay, we can buy a little rickshaw and we can help support that transport just within the community. Because once the big van drops them, the van is so big and the streets are so small that it really drops them outside the community. So we have this one rickshaw we hope we'll be buying more. These help these girls to, just get to their homes quickly, eat their lunch, and then come to the community center for the after-school program, even though we're trying to facilitate that as well, and we're trying to provide lunch for all the kids that are going to the after-school program. Okay, so it's not been all easy and fun. There's a lot of challenges working in Pakistan with inflation, which seems really high in Canada. The inflation rate in Pakistan is 38% to date. So what does that mean for us? Our exchange rate also improves. So we used to get 70 rupees against Canadian dollar, and now we get 200 rupees. But that still doesn't cover the cost of the inflation that is there. If you look at the expenses in that country, they pay the same amount of money in gas as we would here in Canada. The food has become really expensive, and I just wanted to give you a little blurb. 30 cents for a cup of milk for the kids, and if we do 20 days for 240 kids, that's like almost $1,500 a month that we would just pay for providing one cup of milk. And this is just to bring home that things are expensive around the world. If you think things are expensive here, things are very expensive around the world. And it doesn't help when it's a country where there's a lot of corruption at all levels. I don't want to say it, but I'm saying it, that Pakistan stands 150th in ranking. It's really down at the bottom, so very high corruption. And what do I mean by corruption? Yes, there's corruption at the high level, but you don't get good milk. They put water in the milk. So even to that extent, we have to monitor of where we're going to get the milk. Like, just the management of these projects becomes very hard and difficult. So that's one big challenge that we face. Then we see that the government, regardless of you know, seeing how the circumstances for small businesses is, they increase the minimum wage, which absolutely nobody is following in the country. They've increased the minimum wage to 25,000 rupees. But the problem with that is it increases the expectation of the workers. They expect to get that wage, even though these wages are very high to pay to every person that works, right? So, and then of course, there are huge safety issues in Pakistan as well. If you can go to the next slide. So I just wanted to show you, you're not expected to read all of it, but just to show you, we hire 29 people, staff members in Pakistan. So all the way from managers to finances to teachers to the ayah who comes and helps with, because some kids in the morning program are not potty trained, so we have those people. There's the day guards and the night guards because it's so unsafe. You have to pay for their weapon. You have to make sure that, you know, all of these people get paid. So there's 29 people right now on our staff. It's approximately $3,500 per month that just goes towards their salaries. So that's another huge expense. That's not going to the kids. It is, but it's not a direct, you know, when we think of, oh, we just want to sponsor a child. I just want to show you that there's many aspects that go into making that $50 a month sponsorship, that you have to pay for a lot of different things in order to get to that $50 sponsorship. Can we have the next slide, please? So this is one of the big challenges that is very recent. This is 17th of August. Two people were, and this is not in Rawalpindi, this is not where we are. This is Jaramwala, which is Faisalabad, and it's a little distance away from where we are. But I'm sharing this with you because it has impacted us. The way it has impacted us, 17th August, two individuals were targeted by saying that they have blasphemed, and the mob was raised based on two individuals, and they came and they burnt not one church, not two churches, 19 churches in Jaramwala, in all the Christian communities that they were churches. 19 churches were burnt, 400 homes were burnt that belonged to Christians, and 10,000 Christians fled from their homes. They hid in those sugar canes area around them for like 3 days without any food, without any water. And the praise report is that they stayed strong in their faith and no life was lost. So that's the only good news of it. However, this mob mentality in Pakistan, I mean, Christian communities face it constantly. Because of that, the repercussion was where we are working, we got the same threat. People evacuated. Overnight, people evacuated Chak Jalal Din. For 3 days, people were gone. Nobody knew if they were going to be coming back. So it's a very difficult situation. I'm not sharing names, but I'm also sharing that our physics teacher that we had just hired, and I know I was very excited last time when I told you that we now have, you know, we've got better teachers. The physics teacher was targeted as that he was part of that blasphemy situation. So his face became viral on Facebook. And people, the mob, started looking for him. So the consequence of that was he went into hiding. He has been in hiding for 4 weeks. He actually was engaged to one of the teachers at our school as well. So the only way out for them is to leave the country. That's the way out for them. So he got married undercover, and now what they're trying to do is trying to leave the country. But you know, to leave the country isn't that easy either for the poor. Pakistani passport is the bottom, like it ranks fourth from the bottom, other than Afghanistan and Iran. We are just allowed with a Pakistani passport to go to 32 countries without a visa. And those 32 countries, I'm sure nobody wants to go to anyway. So even to just get a visa to leave the country is a huge thing. You have to show a bank balance. You have to pay for the visa. You have to pay for your tickets. You have to explain that you're just going out for a visit visa. You're going to come back. So this is a whole situation that needs to happen before somebody can leave the country. It's not like, oh, just pack your bags and leave. It's nothing like that. So that person's life, his wife's life, has been changed forever, just made hell in one day. So that's, again, as I'm sharing this, it's also a prayer request, because they are trying to leave the country. Not that, you know, it's an open hands global problem. I mean, there is just so much everybody can do, but that is the problem. That is the problem. When you work in these communities, all of the problems become our problems. So how does one support so much in these communities? And this is, you know, this is a big instance, but again, the biggest challenge is that when you have beneficiaries in a poor situation, then they depend on you for everything. We just had our three boys going on a motorbike, had an accident. Thankfully, the person was a police, not a police officer, an army officer, so he paid for their hospitalization and for all the MRIs and whatever needed to happen. But when they came back, who had to pay for the physiotherapy for them for the 3 months? So that's an expense that we're not foreseeing. These are expenses that we're not thinking that we will be paying for these things. But yet, every time somebody gets sick, every time something happens that, you know, the expectation is, and we want to be there for every situation, but the expectation is that there will be help. So I'm just trying to explain the complexity of working in these communities, because they look towards you for everything. Once you're a your beneficiaries, they look towards you for everything. But it's not like, I'm not going to say anymore. Yes, there are challenges, but that does not mean we're not going to stay there. We want to impact those lives. We know that God has put us there. We are a piece of a very big project that God is doing there. Because I have met people in Pakistan who come from different, people who are there from UK, there are people there from the US, who are working in their own different ways, and they're working towards education. And it's been very heartening for me to see that we are there, but we are not the only ones there. God is working and doing his work through many different people over there. So Daud is one of our first batch students who just completed his 10th grade, and he's gone to college, and he's doing his FA in IT. So these are the things that encourage us. That's exciting, very exciting for us. So we also think of worst case scenarios as well. We think, okay, what if something happens and we can't work there? How would we support? So, and this is something that we want to do for adults. So we've actually started a financial program for professional education. And Sana is one of our first recipients of that scholarship. I shouldn't say scholarship, it's not merit-based. It's, if you're poor, you cannot afford your education, then we provide, so it's more like a bursary. So we are providing that kind of support for students who are not necessarily the top students, as long as they pass, and as long as we have confidence that they will pass their professional education, we are happy to support them. So this is sort of what the cost for a 4-year program. So Sana has just joined nursing. In Pakistan, she's going to a private school. We paid $400 for her admission. We pay around $85 a month for her fee, school fee. It's a four-year program. Within $5,000, she would have her nursing degree, and I think that's awesome. So this is something that we are looking at, supporting older recipients for educational financing as well. Okay, so we're trying to also build some connections. So all our schools that we're sending our children to are from the Church of Pakistan Diocese. So he's our new bishop with our manager there. So we're trying to build alliances because they're not the best schools. Those are not necessarily the best English medium schools that our children are going to, but that's all we can afford at the moment. But I think they will do the job, but as long as we can give our feedback, as long as we can tell them that this is how you can improve and this is the kind of teachers we need for our kids. So I think we have a seat on the table in that sense, because now we have like 120 children that are going to those institutions and they are listening to us. So that's a win for our kids when we can impact not only the after-school program but also the education they receive in schools. So we're trying to also work on the culture of the organization. And you know, think of those slum pictures I showed you before. Kids come from those communities. So there's a lot of lies, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of different things that we see in those kids. So we've starting to describe the culture of the organization, and THINK is the acronym that we are using for that. Can I have the next slide? Okay, so again, working on the organization itself, we're doing some declarations for kids as well, because yes, the kids are assimilating, but again, you know, when you go to school where even though you are provided, you go in a good uniform, you have nice shoes on, a nice car brings you to school, but you're still meeting with peers who have so much more in their homes. They have their own cell phones, they have their iPads, but you know, our children don't have that. So there is a confidence that still needs to be built, that even if they don't own everything that their peers own, that they are still, you know, valuable and they're still getting the same education and they're still, you know, that confidence. So we've introduced a declaration that we want all the children to say every morning so that they understand who they are. So I was just going to have them, two kids saying their declaration.
I am a child of God. I am made in His image. I am beautiful and smart. I am happy because God loves me. I can do all things because God is with me. I will fear no evil. I will embrace every challenge and learn from it. A failure is not a setback, but a challenge. I will pursue my God-given dreams and not give up. I will do my best in all things because I love God. As I will stay faithful to Him always. I love everyone around me and treat them with honor and respect.
It's on our radar. We want to make a difference by actually being engaged right here from Canada and US in their curriculum and what they're being taught and, you know, how these children will grow. Can we have the next slide? And that's thank you to Vangel. But before I leave, I just wanted to share at least some scripture from for today. And we're going to read. And it's not another sermon. I'm just going to read. And I thought we'll read from Luke chapter 16. It's the parable of the shrewd manager. Okay. So Jesus told his disciples, There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So just a thought that I was reading it, it's like we're all managers, right? Our blessings, it's temporary. We're, all of us are going to lose our jobs at some point, this management job that he has given us for the wealth that we have. Either we can use it for eternal dwellings and make a difference, or either we just give it to our children. And then I was thinking the wealth is out of our hands then, right? Then it becomes their wealth. So how are we going to use our money in a shrewd way, be engaged of how you use it and how you utilize the blessings you have been given today, because all of us will eventually lose that management position for sure. And the better we think about those things, I think we will be so much better off, because if we use it for our own benefit, for our own eternity, I think that would be a really good thing. And I just want to leave you with this little story. One of my cousins, he has a young, growing 14-year-old son. And he teaches him a lot of things. And he was walking down the road, and he saw a homeless person. And he thought, oh, a good opportunity to make a point and teach him. So he said, "Hey, Matthew, I have $50 in one pocket, and I have $5 in the other pocket. What do you think? How should we help this homeless person?" And he was hoping to make a point. And you know what Matthew said? He said, "Dad, why not both?" And this is my point for you. You know, sometimes we are already giving to charities. We're already doing things. But my challenge to you today is, why not both? Thank you.
Fantastic. So encouraging to hear about transformed lives, isn't it? And transformed communities. Let's stand and Savior, he can move a mountain. Savior, he can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered, Savior. Oh. and Savior. He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen. Shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior and Savior, He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. Jesus,
He's mighty to save.
Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus, one more time, sing Savior and Savior. He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
In a moment, we're going to pray. Esther, thank you for speaking to us and giving us that update this morning. It's so amazing to hear of all the good things that God is doing through your organization, but also to know of the challenges that you face. And we want to pray for that this morning. And we also want to continue to lift up Pastor Shannon as well as he's away and coming back this week. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for all the work that you have given to Open Hands Global and to Esther, Lord Jesus. There is so much good that you are doing through their organization, and I thank you for the vision that they have to bring education to these kids who come from the poorest communities. And Father, to hear of all that is going on, to hear of the successes and the joys, God, we are overjoyed to be able to be a part of what is happening. But Lord, we also lift up those who are going through challenges in Pakistan right now, and those who are struggling. And Lord, I pray for the physics teacher right now, Lord Jesus. I pray for safety and deliverance in his situation, God. I pray that he is able to find safety and soon, Lord Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit surrounds him and protects him and his fiance, Jesus. God, I pray today for Pastor Shannon as he is speaking to his church, Lord. May you speak through him to the people in Newfoundland at his home church. Thank you for this opportunity that he has, and I pray for safe travels for him and Pastor Jen as they return home this week. And God, in all things, may you be with us in the week ahead. May you bless us and keep us. We pray this all in your amazing name, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you are new here, we are so happy we had you this morning, and we hope to connect with you sometime soon. Please have a great week ahead. God bless.